In the Blossom Season, in the Pouring Rain, by Varnes, read by X-Man Hater. Summary. A mysterious garden blooms on Lan Chan's rooftop. His internet forum pen pal gives great gardening advice, but never seems to sleep. The man who works at the florist, who keeps reviving the plants that Lan Chan can't seem to keep alive, has a beautiful smile. These things are related. Present day. Wei Ying was 4 and his parents had been dead for 3 weeks when Uncle Jiang found him. Wei Ying was still in their apartment, a top floor, one bedroom. He was nestled in a bed of out-of-season grass and soft moss, kept alive by the vegetables that sprouted early in the community plots on the roof. Someone had been uprooting them and pushing them through the cat flap. Under normal circumstances, earth witches don't come into their powers until their 15th birthday. Jiang Cheng didn't until then, and Yan Li barely did at all. But Wei Ying's circumstances were not normal. When witches died, their powers spread out into what remained of their coven. But Wei Ying's coven had been a coven of 3. There was no one else to spread into. It would have been easier if the Jiang had formalized his position in their coven. The power would have balanced between them, but Aunt Yu had refused. Anyway, what it all means is that Wei Ying is a freak who got kicked out of university after getting into a fight that ended with the entire university greenhouse exploding into an impenetrable jungle he refused to fix because he was right, actually. His problem is that he's too close to the earth. Barely human, the other witches say. More plant than person. Wei Ying just... he thinks it's, like, rude. "You've got to stop reading the forums," Yan Li tells him with a gentle sigh, petting his head. "It only upsets you."
"I'm just saying, I have feelings," Wei Ying mutters.
"Oh, ha, look, Han Guanjun is roasting Zhou Suxi again. I'll bet anything he's an air witch. Air witches have such a strong bitch vibe."
"Zhou Suxi?"
"No, Han Guanjun."
Jiang Cheng pokes his head out of the office.
"Sorry to interrupt your extremely very important debate about what type of witch the internet stranger Wei Wuxian has had a crush on since college is."
"I don't have a crush on him. We're friends," Wei Ying protests.
"If you're such good friends, does he know the new guy in the forums he's been messaging for the past years, Suibian? The same Suibian who used to send him memes every day in college and insisted he was your best friend even though he barely spoke to you and you didn't actually know his real name?"
"Everyone low-key knows I'm Suibian," Wei Ying mutters. "And it wasn't every day."
Was it Wei Ying's fault that he'd had no internet access for several years after his university debacle because he was busy working on a farm in the middle of nowhere in an attempt to, like, get his shit together? Or that when he came back, ready for a fresh start, the only thing anybody on the forums knew about Han Guanjun was that he had mysteriously disappeared until he abruptly returned with zero explanation? No, it was not.
"Whatever. That's your business. Our business is we have a customer."
Yan Li jumps up, ready to greet whoever has come into the shop. Wei Ying keeps meaning to install a bell, but usually he can tell when someone is coming because the window plants tell him. Flower Trio has been open in Yiling for 3 years exactly. They went into it together when, after several years, it became clear that there would be no danger of the Jiang Coven leadership changing over before its matriarch was good and ready. Which is to say, dead. Jiang Cheng does the books, Yan Li does sales, and Wei Ying makes sure their plants are the best, most beautiful, and longest lasting in the whole city. He even does house calls when someone needs help. Or sometimes the customer brings the plants to him. Wei Ying is happy to oblige because the customer is always right, particularly when the customer is very handsome and brings the same 4 plants that they keep killing. And they come every Tuesday at noon exactly for a year, and then they go on business trips. And Wei Ying doesn't get to see them, and that's fine, because obviously they're not obligated to come see Wei Ying. But sometimes you just get used to things that happen at the same time every week. Sometimes you start to rely on it.
"We need help," says a little voice. Wei Ying looks down.
Sure enough, Jiang Cheng was right. They have a customer.
The customer is very small. His fingers are white against the countertop as he strains, holding himself up on his tiptoes, so that his little eyes can see over.
"Oh no!" coos Yan Li. "A baby!"
"I'm 5, says the customer very sternly.
"Babies can't talk."
Yan Li nods, expression instantly serious. Of course, young master, she greets, and both she and Wei Ying bow formally in greeting.
My apologies. This old lady needs new glasses.
The customer thinks this over, then gives her a little head bow of forgiveness. Yanli shoots Wei Ying a glance that Wei Ying interprets to mean that she is screaming internally.
What does the young master need help with?
Wei Ying asks, lofting himself over the counter so that he can crouch at customer height.
A plant, perhaps?
We have plants,
the customer laments, shaking his head. His lower lip starts to wobble.
They're called Lao Tzu and Dao Zhang and Bun Bun and Scooby.
Wonderful names,
says Wei Ying, who wants to die. He's going to gobble this baby right up. He's got to do it. Can't be helped.
Why Scooby?
Because Beechin thinks it's a snack,
the customer explains very patiently, and then adds after a pause.
Beechin is our cat.
Amazing, Wei Ying assures him. Incredible, fantastic, Beechin, snack, got it, you're doing great.
Above them, Yanli clears her throat.
If you don't need plants, young master, what can we help you with?
The customer considers for a second, then bursts into tears.
They're dying,
he wails. 2 years ago. Lan Chan buys the building mostly out of nostalgia, which he refrains from telling his uncle. He tells his uncle it's because the neighborhood is poised for rejuvenation and a surge in value. If his uncle recognizes the building, he doesn't mention it, but Sichen does at the first walkthrough, while Lan Chan takes notes for renovation plans. As is, the building has 10 apartments. His plan is to consolidate into 5, one on each floor, and rent out the ground floor as a business.
Are you sure, Wangji?
Sichen asks, voice as gentle as it always is. He has Ayuan on his hip. The adoption went through only 2 months ago, although Ayuan has been Lan Chan's son in all but the strictly legal sense for almost a year and a half. Ayuan adores Sichen and has since the first time they met.
I worry that it might make you sad, living here.
Lan Chan shakes his head.
She was sad,
he acknowledges, reaching out to gently tug a strand of hair behind Ayuan's ear. It's getting long, but Ayuan cries when they go to the barber. Lan Chan hates when Ayuan cries.
But this place was happy. We were happy when we were here.
Yes, Sichen agrees, giving in. He nudges his shoulders against Lan Chan's and then rests it there. It feels indulgent. Sichen is always indulgent with him.
You're right. We were happy when we were here. Ayuan will be happy here, too.
Lan Chan smiles at his son.
I was thinking we could replant the garden,
he admits, careful. Their mother had loved the rooftop plots. She spent a lot of time up there.
But I don't remember much about gardening.
Sichen hums, thoughtful.
You could ask the forum.
Lan Chan doesn't make a face, but only because he's not the type of person who makes faces. He hates the witch forums. It's a pit of vipers. The only person he'd ever liked had been Suibian, who had declared himself to be Lan Chan's best friend. And then one day, abruptly disappeared, which, in Lan Chan's opinion, doesn't really feel like a best friend thing to do. Still, there are earth witches on there, and Lan Chan doesn't know any others anymore. Ayuan holds out his hands for Lan Chan, and Lan Chan takes him. He playfully pretends to eat Ayuan's feet, and Ayuan giggles madly at him.
Papa,
he grumbles, pushing Lan Chan away with his hands.
My feet!
Beside them, Sichen laughs.
He's going to be even more spoiled than you, he says.
Lan Chan narrows his eyes, only slightly, at his brother.
I'm not spoiled, he declares,
and Sichen laughs so hard he has to leave the room. 1 year after that. Han Guanjun, 5:15 a.m.
Hello. Does anyone have advice about what flowers to plant if you have a child 3 years old? We have a small plot, so could have some diversity.
Fans only, 9:20 a.m.
Han Guanjun, you're back! WTF! Also, this is so cute, I literally can't stand it. Also, I have no idea.
Han Guanjun, 9:21 a.m. Thank you for your input.
I'm a Yao, 9:25 a.m.
Welcome back, Hung Won Jun. Not a gardener myself, but I have plenty of book recommendations, if that's helpful.
Fans only, 9:26 a.m.
Ooh, books are boring. I say wing it.
Dr. Q, 9:30 a.m. At Yiling Laozu. So Su Shu, 9:32 a.m.
Don't fucking summon him at Dr. Q. Are you insane?
Dr. Q, 9:33 a.m.
Question mark? The man wants help with plants. Everyone knows Yiling Laozu is an earth witch.
So Su Shu, 9:35 a.m.
He is literally on here defending Suibian every day.
Begin Ning, 9:35 a.m.
I actually think Suibian was really nice. Frowning face. You guys are just mean.
Big Chow, 9:36 a.m.
STFU, everyone knows that psycho is barely human.
Flower Girl, 15, 11:30 a.m. At Big Chow.
Who raised you? That's so rude.
At Begin Ning, 3 heart emojis. At everybody.
This is a witch forum, not a roast Suibian forum.
Yiling Laozu, 1:31 a.m.
Any forum can be a roast Suibian forum if you try hard enough. Anyways, late to the party. What up, HGJ? I'll DM you. I have some cute ideas.
Present day. Wei Ying agrees to a house call because his very small customer says he's too little to carry all the plants himself. When he asks after the young master's parents, the kid shakes his head and says very seriously,
"My baba is the best baba, but Bobo is also very, very nice. He lives in our house. Lots of people live in our house. Bobo and baba and me and my friend Jingyi and Jingyi's parents, whose names I don't know, and Ningeko, who's my cousin, and Uncle Nia, who's not my cousin, but he says it's okay to call him that because he's bigger and stronger than my Bobo. And Bobo says no, because Uncle Nia's bark is worse than his bite. But Bobo is playing a long game. But nobody says what the game is called, so I don't know who's winning. Do you like games, Dr. Flowers? My favorite game is checkers. This is my house."
Wei Ying blinks. They have stopped abruptly in front of a comparatively small building, whose outside has been, if not newly, then recently painted. Number 521, which Wei Ying knows without looking, because he knows this building. He remembers it. He remembers it was bought a couple years ago and remodeled into luxury apartments. He had looked once, just to see whether he could. But of course he couldn't. Florists don't make luxury condo money.
"You live here?" Wei Ying asks stupidly.
"This is my house," the customer repeats patiently. Before Wei Ying can say anything else, the front door swings open and a man comes tumbling out, one arm in his jacket, panic on his face. He is very handsome, a strong square jaw, light blue ribbon tying back his hair. He skids to a halt in front of them.
"Ah Yuan," he cries, dropping to his knees and scooping Wei Ying's customer into his arms, peppering him with little pats, as if to make sure he has no limbs missing.
"Ah Yuan, you can't leave like that without telling anybody. I was very frightened and worried, okay?"
"Okay,"
Ah Yuan agrees amiably. He lays his head on the man's shoulder and pats his chest comfortingly, before pointing at Wei Ying.
"I brought Dr. Flowers. He's going to save the garden from being dead."
The man finally notices Wei Ying, eyebrows climbing to his forehead. His baba, Wei Ying surmises, giving a sheepish little smile and a wave.
"I realize this looks not great,"
he admits, rubbing the back of his neck with a little laugh.
"But the young Gangzu seemed to think that it was a real emergency, and I couldn't exactly turn him away without..."
He trails off delicately, not wanting to insult Ayuan Sr.'s parenting to his face. He looks, Wei Ying thinks suddenly, not a little like Lan Chan. The same sharp jaw, though broader. The same shape eyes, though differently colored. Wei Ying has been trying not to think about Lan Chan, who is his favorite customer, even though he kills his plants with clockwork regularity and who is away on business.
"Thank you," says Mr. Ayuan, and his lips lift into a very soft, kind smile. "For escorting him home." He hesitates, then adds,
"If you really can help, the rooftop garden is struggling."
Wei Ying looks up at the building. He desperately wants to go in.
He also desperately doesn't. It won't be what he remembers. Gutted, modernized, sleek. Not the shabby but warm nest that had sheltered him. Not the echo of his mother singing. Not the knock of a little hand on the door, potatoes rolling through the cat flap, with little words carved into them like, "For you," and "Eat."
"It's dying, Dr. Flowers,"
Ayuan insists, growing teary again.
"Please?"
Fuck, he's honestly very cute. Weiying gives a helpless shrug and says, "Sure, I'll take a look," and follows them inside.
"What the fuck?"
Weiying says when he sees it. They had ridden the elevator directly up, so he hadn't had the chance to see inside any of the new apartments. But it seems as if the remodeling had not much included the roof, which looks startlingly like Weiying remembers. Four little row gardens, one next to the other. All nearly dead. As bad as anything Lan Chan has ever brought him. Mr. Ayuan claps his hands over Ayuan's ears.
"Ah, Dr. Flowers, please," he scolds lightly.
"What have you done to these poor babies?" Weiying wails, flinging himself at the dirt. Nothing is in any sort of useful order for aiding growth or soil health, although it's an extremely strict grid. The poor things can barely breathe, like kittens left out in a too small box. It is worse than any of the dying plants that Lan Chan has brought him, which is impressive because nobody kills plants faster and more effectively than Lan Chan.
"Shh, it's okay," he soothes them. "I'll fix it. I can fix it, poor things."
"That's wonderful news," says Mr. Ayuan / plant murderer 2, handsome stranger Boogaloo. "We'll leave you to it."
Weiying waves them away. Ayuan wriggles loose of his dad and trundles to where Weiying is crouched, hands on his knees.
"They'll be okay?" he asks, eyes wide. "Really okay?"
"Really okay," Weiying promises firmly.
He can feel the plant roots reaching toward where his hand is already pressing into the soil.
"Just leave it with me, young master. They'll be blooming before you know it."
"Wei Wuxian," the plants sing, happy, as Ayuan and Mr. Ayuan disappear back inside. The vines on the side of the building sit up at attention, recognizing him. Old friends, really.
"Okay," Weiying tells the garden plot sternly. "Let's start with getting you out of these jail cells, eh?"
2 months ago. Weiying is alone in Flower Trio when the door swings open. He needs to get a bell. He's put it on so many to-do lists and then just doesn't. He kicks his feet off the counter and pops up, half hoping it's Mian Mian from the cafe next door, bringing him her end-of-day reject Baozi.
"Holy shit," Weiying says out loud.
"It's not Mian Mian. He's very hot. Very, very hot. Tall and stern-looking and angular all over. A jaw you could cut wood with, and eyes so light a brown you could almost call them gold." He frowns.
"What's wrong?"
"Nothing," Weiying cries and curves his hands into his body as if it's wounded.
No, I cut myself. On a flower.
Hurts like a bitch, but that's roses for you. Anyway, hello, hi, what can I do for you?"
The man is still frowning, head cocked slightly to the side. "I can wait."
"Wait?"
Weiying repeats. The man points at the hand that Weiying has clutched to his chest.
"You're injured. I can wait for you to dress the wound."
"Okay, well, the wound is a little dramatic," Weiying assures him,
turning around to quickly cut his thumb on his teeth while reaching for a band-aid in the back cupboard. When he faces the man again, he waves his hand with his tiny blood droplet as proof.
"See? Anyway, it's fine. I'm used to it. My hands are usually in tatters anyway, because you would not believe the attitude in some of these guys. It's like, I'm your dad. Show me some respect."
There's a pause. The man is still staring at him, expression grim. So Weiying has not made a great first impression. That's fine. He usually doesn't. He grows on people. That's like his whole thing. More plant than person, right? Ha ha. The man's frown deepens.
"This is Wei Wuxian's flower shop," he confirms, studying Weiying with the tilt of his head.
"Sure is," Weiying agrees, grinning. "Sorry if the hype is overblown."
A small head shake.
"And you work here?"
Do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life.
Wei Ying sing-songs and then laughs.
The man keeps staring at him, so Wei Ying assumes he's heard all the same rumors about him that everyone else has. He sighs, hopping over the counter instead of using the door, because Wei Ying does not believe in walking anywhere when you can hop, and sticks out his hand. Wei Ying, he introduces, to put the man at ease. They shake hands.
Lun Chun, the man says, and then they just stand there holding hands in silence.
This is the weirdest dude Wei Ying has ever met in his life. He likes him enormously.
So, did you come in for a reason? He prompts, finally dropping his hand back to his side.
Or are you just browsing? I'm happy to give you a little tour if you're not sure exactly what you're looking for.
Yes, the man says, giving a sharp single nod. Thank you.
Wei Ying can be honest about the fact that he had not anticipated this. Customers rarely actually want you to try to sell them things.
They either want you to pick it out or they want to be left alone.
Oh, he says, too honest in his surprise.
The man frowns again. Wei Ying is a terrible salesman. He shouldn't ever be left alone in here.
I am not an experienced gardener, he explains, matter of fact. This is your profession. I will need guidance.
Wei Ying nods furiously, grabbing the man's sleeve and dragging him forward into the aisles, before either of them can think better of it, and before his mouth can say something else dumb that will scare away the business. And more importantly, the business.
The business is a man's...
I know what the business is, Jiang Cheng snaps later when Wei Ying tells him this story.
Not that Wei Ying really expects to get the business. If their interaction so far is any indication, this man's front door says closed.
Are you looking for any particular occasion? Wei Ying asks,
eyeing a particularly grabby-handed cast-iron plant that is obviously considering reaching for the customer. He glares at it until it wilts a little.
The man shakes his head slowly.
He's refusing to look at Wei Ying, but he hasn't shaken him off, so Wei Ying feels like it's a draw.
I would like a plant, he says, a little stilted.
Well, Wei Ying says, we are a plant store, so you're crushing it so far.
It is, the man clears his throat. For my son.
Wei Ying drops the man's sleeve.
Ah, he says, giving a little laugh and tucking his hands into his pockets.
The man glares at them, so maybe he hadn't shaken Wei Ying off just because he was too polite.
Right, okay, well, what's your son like? Are you thinking flowers? Maybe a succulent? Or are we talking like a big tree in the backyard which will one day house a treehouse?
The man seems to carefully consider this.
Something easy for him to care for. He is 5.
A baby, Wei Ying sighs, a little wistful. He wants a 5-year-old.
Jin Ling is only 3, and Wei Ying loves him more than he loves his own life. He's the funniest person in the world, and also the grumpiest, unless he's sleepy, and then he's just a soft ball of cuddles.
He's 5, the man repeats.
A 5-year-old baby, Wei Ying corrects himself, grinning.
But he is already moving through the store, leading the man to the succulents. He knows exactly what they should get. They stop in front of Wei Ying's personal favorite display. The man leans over to read the carefully Jiang Cheng lettered label. Wei Ying loves all his plants equally, but these always make him smile. Lagara sauvatus, more popularly known as bunny succulents.
A plant and a pet, he crows cheerfully,
reaching out to give one a little stroke between its ears.
What more could a 5-year-old not baby ask for?
The man says nothing for a moment. When Wei Ying looks over, there's an entranced little smile on his face as he looks at them, lips curved and soft.
Oh no, Wei Ying thinks.
He feels a smile tugging at his own mouth.
Do you like bunnies?
He asks, tilting his head to the side, and it seems to shake the man out of his daze. His glance cuts to Wei Ying. The tips of his ears are red.
I will take one, he says,
voice clipped, and fishes out his phone to pay right there in the aisle. Wei Ying tips his head back and laughs, swiping one of the smaller bunny succulents from their little shelf and carrying it back to the counter to ring up. 20 years before present day. Lan Chan goes to the roof while Sichin and Mama are sleeping. The garden plots up there are full of good things. He draws little grids around all the different plants so he knows which is which. It's very helpful. As soon as he does it, little vegetables sprout. Plants must like organization, too. Lan Chan is a very good gardener. He takes the potato that has sprouted for him and carries it slowly and carefully to the elevator and then down to the top floor. His friend is there. He thinks they're friends. They sometimes wave at each other and his friend smiles really big. But he hasn't come out. Lan Chan doesn't know why. He heard him crying before. He carves "for you" into the potato with his fingernail. And then, after a moment of thought, takes a blue ribbon out of his hair and ties it around the potato so it looks like a present. Lan Chan likes presents. Sichin gives Lan Chan presents when he's grumpy or sad, and sometimes just because he thinks Lan Chan will like it. If Sichin does it, then it must be good to do. He pushes the potato through the cat flap. There's a long silence. Then his friend says, "Thanks." Lan Chan nods, satisfied. He agrees. "I'll come back." He goes back to bed before anyone wakes up. 1 year ago. Hangwon Jun, 5:10 a.m.
"Thank you for your suggestions."
Yiling Laozu, 5:12 a.m.
"No problem. I think it's so cute you want to garden with your son. I hope it's not weird, but a lot of the plants I suggested all mean, like, luck and fortune and love, haha. Also, damn, you get up early."
Hangwon Jun, 5:25 a.m.
"Yes."
Yiling Laozu, 5:30 a.m.
"Yes, it's weird, or yes, you get up early?"
Hangwon Jun, 5:35 a.m.
"I get up early. It's not weird. You are also up early, it seems."
Yiling Laozu, 5:40 a.m.
"Am I up early or am I up late? That's the question. Ooh. Well, good luck. If anything goes wrong, or if you have any questions or anything, you have my at."
Hangwon Jun, 5:47 a.m.
"Thank you. I do not anticipate any issues."
After the accident, when Lan Chan could do little but lay on his bed and drink water when it was brought to him, he watched the plants outside his hospital window grow and bloom and die and grow again. This immobility, however, was how he met Ayuan, still just a baby, every walking step a hilarious drunk-looking toddle, as his grandmother in the next suite died slowly. His doctor, Wen Ting, had reluctantly admitted when Ayuan broke into Lan Chan's room and clung to her leg that the baby was her cousin, and that she didn't know what to do with him while she worked. His grandmother was too ill to look after him, and there was no one else.
"He can visit with me," Lan Chan had offered, opening his arms for the child to climb into.
He was warm and curled nicely into the bend of Lan Chan's elbow. Together, they lay on his bed for hours and watched the plants on the sill shift in the wind, or bow beneath the rain, or stretch toward the sunshine. The skin on Lan Chan's back grew together and built itself into a trellis of scars, on which Ayuan drew careful, flowering vines. Then Ayuan's grandmother died. Wen Ting had looked at Lan Chan in silence for a long time and then said,
"He has a family. He could use a father."
And Lan Chan had answered, "Yes," before she could finish the sentence. In the last 6 months before Lan Chan was able to leave the hospital, Ayuan often fell asleep against his side while he recited the names of the plants on the window and across the bedspread. But Lan Chan quickly reached the end of his knowledge. He asked his brother for books. He wanted always to have the answers to the questions his son asked him. When Lan Chan got better, he had brought Ayuan back to his apartment, but it felt wrong. It had been fine for him alone, but it wasn't built to raise a child in. So he had bought the building, though it had fallen into disrepair in the time since he'd last seen it, quiet and haunted-looking. The roof was a mess. For many years it had grown wild, mostly weeds and a few stubborn gentians left over from when his mother had lived there. But the light was still good, and the box plot still solid. After the remodel, armed with suggestions from the Earth Witch of the Forum, he marks out a series of careful grids. Here's where they will grow spinach. Here's the trellis for the peas. Here's the spot for rainbow chard.
One plot will be for useful vegetables, one for fruit, and the last for flowers. Ah Yuan has seen a lot of things die, Lan Wangji thinks. They both have. Now he wants them both to see things grow. Together, they press the seeds into the dirt and wait for spring. Present day. When Lan Chan returns from Gusu, torn away by a business matter that simply could not be done without him, he asked. He is greeted at the ground floor by Ah Yuan, so excited to see him that he nearly bowls them both over with his greeting. Behind Ah Yuan, Zichen is standing with a warm smile and twinkling eyes.
He missed you,
he says, reaching out to gently tousle Ah Yuan's hair.
You were gone for so long, Ah Yuan explains, breathless. We did a lot of things. We went for walks, and Jingyi came to play, and Bobo let Uncle Nie sleep over. But I couldn't have Jingyi sleep over, which wasn't fair, but it was okay because Uncle Nie made breakfast. And then the garden died, and Dr. Flowers came, and now the flowers are so big.
Lan Chan blinks, taking all of this in.
Uncle Nie slept over, you say?
He muses, raising an eyebrow at Zichen, who simply smiles serenely and explains. His air conditioning broke, Wangji. Quite warm in his apartment. Impossible to sleep.
I see, says Lan Chan. Terrible news. I'll call someone to take a look.
I'm sure he'll be grateful, Zichen replies, looking very much like he's 10 seconds away from disappearing to take an axe to Nie Mingjue's air conditioner. Ah Yuan pats Lan Chan's shoulder impatiently.
The garden, Baba, he urges. Let's go see it.
Lan Chan shifts Ah Yuan to one hip and pulls his suitcase with his free hand, listening to his cheerful relay of the minutiae of every day that Lan Chan was gone. He leaves his brother at his own apartment on the third floor and his suitcase inside the front door of the suite where he and Ah Yuan live, and together they go to look at the garden. To Lan Chan's surprise, Ah Yuan is right. He has only been gone 4 days, but the garden plots have burst into full bloom, his and Ah Yuan's careful grid blithely ignored by the plants growing there. It's not the smartly tended plot he had envisaged. It is a wild tangle, blossoms talking over each other. Some of the blossoms he doesn't even recall planting. Lan Chan looks down at Ah Yuan, incandescent with joy in his arms.
That bloomed first, so he's Dr. Flowers,
the boy decides, pointing to it. Is that a plum tree? When did they plant a tree? Were they allowed to plant trees on a roof? Surely that would violate some kind of zoning law.
Ah Yuan, he says carefully. Did you make the flowers grow like this?
Ah Yuan shakes his head in exasperation.
Baba, I said, Dr. Flowers did it.
Dr. Flowers, Lan Chan repeats,
pointing at the tiny plum tree. Just to confirm that his son is suggesting a magical tree named Dr. Flowers sprouted overnight and made their tame family project turn into a verdant jungle. Ah Yuan nods.
Dr. Flowers, he confirms. He's funny. I like him.
All the parenting books tell Lan Chan to meet his child with trust and an open mind, so he simply says,
All right. Thank you, Dr. Flowers.
And makes a note to confirm with Wen Ting that there is no history of earth magic in their family. 2 months ago, plus 1 day.
Okay,
Wei Ying says, snatching the bunny succulent from the customer. From Lan Chan. He had said his name was Lan Chan. And holding it up to eye level to peer at it.
But, like, how?
The poor thing is mostly dead. Wei Ying doesn't even know how it's possible to kill a succulent in less than 24 hours. But here it is, dried and shriveled in his hands.
Lan Chan scowls. We followed your guidance.
Wei Ying has spent many years swallowing his opinion of how people interact with the earth and its flora, so he does not scoff out loud. Instead, he says, as delicately as he can,
It's not that I don't believe you. It's just that I gave you very specific step-by-step instructions for how to help this little bunny to thrive, and you killed it. I sold it to you yesterday, and now it is dead.
Well,
says Lan Chan, and then nothing else, his mouth a firm line. Wei Ying sighs. He runs a finger along the bunny's ears and down its side, ending in the dirt. He closes his eyes and opens his meridians. The energy in him connects to the energy in the succulent, frail as it is.
Shh,
he thinks at it. Shh, it's okay, I have you. Are you in there? Come back, little one. Beneath his touch, the succulent skin firms and straightens. The root rot shakes loose its hold and slinks up into Wei Ying's hand. A patch of his own skin turns briefly brown and rotten, and then the rot flakes away. Root rot in a bunny succulent is too small to really hurt him. Lan Chan watches this with hooded eyes. When the succulent is fully revived, he holds out his hand silently. Wei Ying clutches it to his chest. He's not just going to hand it back over to a murderer, no matter how hot this guy is.
I will pay for it again, Lan Chan offers.
You literally just murdered it, Wei Ying cries. I'm not giving it back to you, are you crazy?
Lan Chan's expression doesn't change. My son is very attached to it, he admits after a long pause, as if it pains him. If I do not return with it, he will be very upset.
Wei Ying hesitates. On the one hand, he really doesn't want to put the bunny back in the hands of a plant killer. On the other hand, the plant killer has a 5-year-old son who will be upset if his bunny succulent doesn't come home from the doctor. This is an untenable situation. Fine, he caves at last, handing him back over. But whoever did the watering last time isn't allowed to do it again. If it was your son, then you do it. If it was you, then have your partner do it, Wei Ying tells him, fumbling a little over the word. He glances at Lan Chan and away. Lan Chan's brow is furrowed again, his lips tipping down. Clearly, whoever is in charge of this little dude should not be. Please remember that I said light. Light watering, he pleads.
Lan Chan cradles the succulent against his chest. My son and I did it together, he says. I would like us to keep doing it together.
Wei Ying stares hard at the floor. The man before him is a plant killer. It does not matter that he's a very cute dad who wants to spend quality time with his young son. It is none of Wei Ying's business. Oh, he says, instead of anything else, like, do you want to abandon your partner and go on a date with me, like, right now? Well, okay, then maybe just call me before you water it, and I'll talk you through it, okay?
Lan Chan looks at him with consternation, which is how Wei Ying is beginning to think that maybe he always looks. Like, maybe that's just his face. His very, very handsome face. His handsome dad who loves his son and is trying very hard not to murder Wei Ying's plant face. Grumpy as fuck and sweeter than a bowl of wild strawberries all at the same time. Lan Chan agrees and gently strokes between the bunny succulent's ears for a moment before reaching into his pocket and sheepishly displaying a small piece of paper.
I also have a list. My son and I would like to plant a garden.
Present day. It's been a week, and young Master Ayuan hasn't come to give him a plant update. Wei Ying isn't surprised. Of course he didn't. He's a 5-year-old. 5-year-olds can barely remember what they had for breakfast, much less the florist a few blocks from their house. It is possible that Wei Ying went slightly overboard in fixing it. He can admit that to himself. It was just, that was his garden. His parents had raised him there, when they had been alive to raise him at all. Earth magic is bound to its place and to its people by its nature. Wei Ying had closed his eyes and reached back in his sense memory. A small boy in a nest of moss, the vines and the grass and the plots above him all straining toward him. They had wanted him to be fed, and happy, and well. He had been newly imbued with the magic of his parents, magic which loved him, magic which was woven into every nook of their apartment, every bit of shoe-clung dirt in the hallway. He felt it in his bed of moss, which grew him a pillow to sleep on. He felt it in the food pushed toward him, through the cat flap by a boy he doesn't quite remember. When he was done, the soil was happy and singing. Wei Ying, frankly, has no idea what he planted. When the door opens, Wei Ying still has not installed a bell, despite Yan Li's pleas. When will his memory come back from the war? It's not Ayuan, but Wei Ying still feels a grin split his face. Lan Chan, he greets, leaning forward over the counter. He knows he looks desperate. He knows he always leans towards Lan Chan's light like a starving flower.
You're back.
Lan Chan's smile is small, like it always is. But it's there.
He agrees.
He has a familiar cast iron plant in his hands. It's wilting and dry. Wei Ying sighs, making grabby hands, and heals it, whispering apologetically as he always does.
How was your trip?
Wei Ying asks as he works, risking just one glance up. He can't look at Lan Chan for too long or he starts to go literally insane. It's too much for the human brain to handle. It defies science.
Did you miss me?
Lan Chan says, which could mean yes or no or shut up or any other number of things.
I am glad to be home.
Me too.
Lan Chan frowns.
Did you travel?
He asks. Have I caught you at a bad time?
No time that you catch me is a bad time,
Wei Ying assures him cheerfully. That could be a thing that regular friends say to each other, probably. He says sappy shit like that to me and Mian all the time, whenever she brings him warm bowsy. He says things like, you're my best girl in all the world, and if you ever get tired of the unending devotion of your husband, marry me instead. And I love your bowsy, and I would die for you.
So that's perfectly feasible that he would admit to Lan Chan that literally every second they spend together is the best part of his day. That's regular friend stuff, fair and square.
Lan Chan's ears are red. Too cute. Too cute. Wei Ying can't look at them for too long, or probably every plant in the shop will outgrow its pot.
Wei Ying isn't allowed to look at or touch the accounting books, but he's confident they don't have replant every pot in the store money.
It's been 6 months of this. Lan Chan coming in, dead plants in hand. Once a week, like clockwork. Always one of the same four. A cast iron plant, the bunny succulent, a blue charita, and a jade plant. And always when Wei Ying is working. Never when Yanli or Jiang Cheng are in the shop. He doesn't know how he knows the schedule. Lately, he has taken to bringing small gifts of food. Fresh peas, roasted sweet potatoes, roasted chestnuts, sprouted watermelon seeds. It feels like an exchange of sorts. Wei Ying takes care of Lan Chan's poor, tortured plants, and Lan Chan brings him things to eat. Wei Ying doesn't know why, but he always waits until Wei Ying is finished eating before he leaves. He leans his hip against the counter and lets Wei Ying babble at him and never seems bored or uninterested, even when all Wei Ying is talking about is how Jin Ling has learned to bite hard enough to hurt. It's nice. Wei Ying is probably in love with him. Not that it matters particularly. Lan Chan has a son and a partner. Wei Ying is his florist. This is a very normal and usual relationship, and Wei Ying has no business thinking that his customer, Lan Chan, looks particularly handsome when the sun hits his hair and makes it glint blue.
My trip was fine, Lan Chan says, watching Wei Ying's hands at work. I do not like to be away.
Your plants don't like it either, Wei Ying says dryly. This poor guy almost didn't make it.
Lan Chan hums, then reaches into his pocket and pulls out a packet of haw flakes, handing them over wordlessly. Wei Ying takes them with a delighted laugh, eyebrows rising.
Store-bought?
He asks, feigning shock.
Lan Chan, you're getting lazy.
I'll give them to someone else,
Lan Chan replies, holding out his hands for the haw flakes to be returned. Wei Ying clutches them protectively to his chest.
No, you can't have them back. I'm going to eat them all.
Lan Chan hums again.
I didn't have time to make anything, he admits. I bought them at the shop across the street. I didn't want to come empty-handed.
Something in Wei Ying's chest feels soft and bruised. He holds the haw flakes tighter and hands back the plant.
You're never empty-handed,
he teases, unwrapping them and peeling a candy off the top for himself. And then another to share. Lan Chan takes the offering, and together they pop the discs into their mouths.
You always bring me some poor, suffering plant to fix.
Hongguan, June, 4:35 a.m.
You are an earth witch, yes?
Yiling Laozu, 10:01 p.m.
HGJ, it's been so long. How are your plants? How did it go? What did you end up buying? And yeah, what gave it away? Was it my bio that says Earth Bitch?
Hongguan Jun, 6:02 a.m.
There have been myriad clues.
Yiling Laozu, 3:30 a.m.
Lol.
Hangguan Jun, 5:05 a.m.
I bought many of your suggestions. They struggled at first, but have recently been doing well. You were up late again.
Yiling Laozu, 8:10 p.m.
Maybe I woke up early instead of staying up late. Did you consider that, Mr. Hangguan Jun?
Hangguan Jun, 6:11 a.m. Did you?
Yiling Laozu, 12:13 p.m.
Admittedly, no, I did not. But I could have. You don't know. Anyway, that's great about the plans.
Hangguan Jun, 12:14 p.m.
Well.
Yiling Laozu, 12:25 p.m.
Is that not great?
Hangguan Jun, 12:45 p.m.
It seems that some have bloomed which I did not plant. Is there, perhaps, some magic that might make that happen?
Yiling Laozu, 12:46 p.m.
No. You need seeds to grow plants. You can't just, like, magic them out of nowhere.
Hangguan Jun, 12:48 p.m.
I see. Thank you.
Yiling Laozu, 12:48 p.m.
Hold up. You can't leave me in the dark like this. What the fuck?
Hangguan Jun, 12:50 p.m.
I have no further information to share. If it becomes available, I will report back.
A month and a half after the blooming of the plum tree. You can make lots of things with the fruit that grow from plum trees. Sour juice, called suan meitang, thick meizheng sauce for egg rolls, and dried huame, which his mother used to make. The flavor was too strong for Lan Chan, raised as he was on his uncle's cooking, but he and Si Chen would eat it anyway, making faces where she couldn't see. Wei Ying had mentioned loving it once, offhand, while the florist nursed Laozu back to life. Of course he would. He loved only the worst, strongest flavors. Lan Chan would make it for Ayuan and let him decide for himself. Lan Chan has been experimenting with various snacks in an attempt to map Wei Ying's palate, but it's a lost cause. The answer is that he likes things that make Lan Chan wince. Wei Ying, who greets him with a blossoming smile, whose aura is as gold as any sunflower. Wei Ying, with his jaunty ponytail and his easy chatter, with his expert hands. Wei Ying, who had so stunned Lan Chan the first time he walked into the shop that he'd forgotten what he was actually there for. His list of suggestions from Yiling Laozu had sat, untouched, in his pocket, until he'd had to slink in shamefacedly the next day with a near-dead succulent. Wei Ying, who has, for months and months on end, healed every single one of the plants he's brought by since. Bun Bun and Dao Zhang and Laozu and Scooby in steady rotation. Lan Chan, who has killed them again and again. Not exactly on purpose. Not exactly not on purpose. Si Chen always gives him that particular knowing look when he comes back to fetch his son from his uncle with the plant tucked into his arm. He always says, "Again, Wang Ji?" And Lan Chan always returns, "How is the air conditioning in Nie Mingjue's apartment?" "Incredibly temperamental," says Si Chen, unfazed. According to Wei Ying, plum trees usually flower in winter and produce fruit in the summer and fall. They also don't typically produce fruit until they have grown for several years. Dr. Flowers, despite this, has both blooms and plump fruit on his branches. It is not even a year old. The Earth Witch on the forum called Yiling Laozu. Lan Chan would not be amiss in calling him a friend, he thinks. Assures him that this would only be possible under the auspices of a very powerful Earth Witch. Suibian, Lan Chan had thought, remembering the stories. But that was stupid. Suibian was dead for all Lan Chan knew. Lan Chan had messaged him on and off throughout college, but the account was abandoned. Or if it wasn't, Suibian chose again and again not to respond. Eventually, Lan Chan gave up. Lan Chan has checked with Wen Ning and Wen Ting. Ayuan has not a drop of earth magic in him. Even if he did, he's too young for it to manifest, and it wouldn't be strong enough to do this. Lan Chan even entertains, briefly, the idea that he could have some latent earth magic, but his father was an air witch, and his mother was not a witch at all.
"Baba, sunny flowers,"
Ayuan calls, drawing Lan Chan's attention. He's sitting happily next to the garden. All of the blossoming sunflowers are pointed toward him. They wave in the wind, and he waves back.
Look them up! Look them up!
Lan Chan does. Good luck and lasting happiness, he reads out, as he holds out a bowl of the fruits that sprouted overnight. This morning it is Longan, which had appeared last week, despite Lan Chan being fairly confident that Longan needed a far warmer, wetter climate. He dried them in the oven and gives them to Ayuan, who munches them in delight.
Happy garden,
Ayuan decides, the words garbled by the food in his mouth.
A happy baba?
Lan Chan had also entertained the idea that the plum tree was, perhaps, some kind of creature all on its own. But, despite his long lingering watching butterflies fluttering around the wildflowers, he catches no shifts in Dr. Flowers. Nobody ever appears. The garden is the garden, blooming beautifully, blooming toward his son, making him smile. Lan Chan senses no ill intent in the air around the plum tree, none in the atmosphere around the building. And Ayuan is smiling.
Happy, Lan Chan agrees, reaching out to straighten his son's shirt. Happy, Ayuan?
Happy,
Ayuan tells him, and reaches out to delicately pat an orchid.
Wei Ying,
Jiang Chen complains, coming into the kitchen of their shared apartment with a scowl on.
You're doing it again.
Wei Ying looks up from his laptop.
I'm not on the forums,
he says immediately, even though he is absolutely on the forums. He can't help it. He likes to argue with people when they're wrong.
Jiang Cheng pushes the laptop closed with two disdainful fingers.
I know that you're currently nursing an extremely large crush on your internet friend, he says. But it's embarrassing. The lilies in the bathroom are out of control.
Wei Ying winces. It is really not Hong Guanjun's fault that the lilies are blooming incredibly out of season. Even though Wei Ying is at this exact moment in his DMs demanding updates about the mysterious tree growing on his roof. They've been exchanging messages for a while now, and Wei Ying thinks he's exactly as swell as he did when they were college age. He reminds him, sometimes, of Lan Chan. Deadpan, intentional, careful. They don't always catch each other. Hong Guanjun usually messages in the early morning, and Wei Ying not until late at night, after he's closed the shop and finished dinner with his siblings. Often their conversations take place over the course of many mornings and many nights. Once they'd both been having lunch, apparently at the same time, and managed to exchange a handful of messages all at once. Wei Ying had been with Lan Chan, actually. They were eating at Mian Mian's because Lan Chan had brought no treats with him, and Wei Ying had mentioned liking the Baozi next door. It wasn't a date, obviously, but it had been nice. He'd only pulled out his phone because Lan Chan had excused himself to use the bathroom, and if Wei Ying was left without external stimuli for more than 7 consecutive seconds, he would die. Anyway, it's really not Hong Guanjun's fault, or at least not directly. It's just that he had mentioned making plum wine from his mysterious magical tree, which just so happens to be Wei Ying's favorite, and furthermore reminded him of 2 days ago, when Lan Chan had brought him 4 fresh plums, ripe and perfect and full of something. Wei Ying hadn't quite been able to identify it, the joy in his mouth when he bit into it, like a taste he had forgotten that he loved. They were really good plums, was all.
Sorry, he mutters. I'll get off the forums.
Just ask him on a date, Jiang Cheng says,
as if the words are being dragged out of him.
You've been DMing him for 6 months. He's on the hook. Tell him you were Suibian and ask him to go get dinner. It's not hard. Please stop making me talk about this.
I can't ask Hong Guanjun out on a date, Wei Ying scoffs.
He's, like, Hong Guanjun.
Yanli pokes her head out from the kitchen. Jin Zishuan and Aling are having father-son bonding time, so she's been banished to the boys' apartment for dinner. She says,
No, you can't ask out Hong Guanjun because you're going to ask out Lan Wangji.
Wei Ying blinks.
Who?
Don't who me,
Yanli tells him sternly.
Your plant boyfriend.
Please tell me you aren't doing weird sex stuff with the plants,
Jiang Cheng complains.
I've defended you so many times against...
I'm not fucking the plants, Wei Ying snaps, punching Jiang Cheng's arm hard enough for him to recoil.
What the fuck?
Yanli crosses her arms over her chest, coming fully into the living room.
Your plant boyfriend,
she reiterates.
The one who comes in every Tuesday at noon when Ah-Chung and I have lunch with mother and father.
Wei-Ying opens his mouth and then closes it again. He narrows his eyes at her and then points accusingly.
How do you know about my... about Lan Chan? He accuses. And why are you calling him Lan Wangji?
Lan Wangji is his courtesy name,
Yanli tells him primly.
He's a very well-respected witch. You're just rude.
Wei-Ying feels like all the blood has gone out of his body. He feels like he is falling down a very steep cliff.
He said his name was Lan Chan,
Wei-Ying defends himself.
Why do you know his courtesy name? Why do you know his name at all?
He came into the shop before you clocked in one time,
Yanli says, astonishingly unrepentant that she knows Wei-Ying's Lan Chan and hasn't told him before.
He was looking for you. I told him that the best time to find you was Tuesdays at noon, and to bring snacks, because you always forget to eat when we're not there to make you do it.
Why did you tell him that?
Because he was very handsome, and he looked like a kicked rabbit when I told him you weren't in.
Wei-Ying drops his head to the table.
He's not my boyfriend, he mutters. He's got a kid. He looks the way he looks. He absolutely has someone who either used his genetic material for or helped him acquire that kid.
Yanli huffs.
Lots of people are single fathers, she tells him.
Name one, Wei-Ying shoots back.
I cannot at this time fulfill that request because I'm busy thinking about what to make for lunch, Yanli tells him in her worst annoying older sister voice. But you could just ask.
Ask. Ask Lan Chan if he's single, like some sort of...
Jiang Cheng flings himself onto the couch.
I wish Jin Ling were here, he mutters. He never bothers me with this type of shit.
Yanli and Wei-Ying give him tandem glares.
Fine, cheat on your internet boyfriend with your plant boyfriend. What do I care?
Jiang Cheng snaps, throwing his hands in the air.
Just stop making all the flowers in this apartment horny.
I will not make a promise I can't keep, says Wei-Ying, and opens his laptop back up. Ah-Yuan comes back, this time with his hand clutched in his dad's. Wei-Ying is so delighted to see him that he nearly falls over himself hopping over the countertop.
Dr. Flowers!
Ah-Yuan cries, shaking loose and running to clutch Wei-Ying's leg, like the cutest and best, most perfect baby in all the universe.
Hi, hello, I missed you.
I missed you, little buddy, Wei-Ying tells him. How is your garden? Are the plants okay?
Ah-Yuan nods vigorously.
They're very good, he says, proud. We have a big tree. They talk to me.
Wei-Ying blinks.
They what?
His father laughs, a gentle sound.
What Ah-Yuan means is that we have been looking up flower symbolism, he explains.
All the flowers that have bloomed have been very lucky and happy. We're very grateful, Dr. Flowers. At some point, Wei-Ying should probably tell them that his name isn't actually Dr. Flowers. But the thing is, it's so cute, and also the closest Wei-Ying has ever come to having a degree of any kind.
Only the best for the young master,
Wei-Ying says, somberly, bowing.
What's your favorite one?
You can't have a favorite,
Ah-Yuan scolds.
Then you'll hurt their feelings if they don't get picked.
Wei-Ying might kidnap this child.
Like, he's not going to do it, but he might do it. He won't, but he might, though.
You're a very considerate young man,
Wei-Ying tells him. Ah-Yuan beams. His dad looks pleased, too, smiling down at Ah-Yuan with obvious affection. So that's good. Maybe Wei-Ying won't kidnap him. Maybe he's happy where he is. With his dad, who clearly dotes on him and even brought him by so that he could give Wei-Ying an update on how the garden is. He kneels down so that he and Ah-Yuan are on the same level.
Don't forget to water them once a day, he says, very seriously.
To be honest, the plants won't need much looking after, unless they've got a certified plant killer like Lan Chan harassing them every day. Wei-Ying put enough of his own magic into the soil that they should be able to basically take care of themselves.
Tell them all the time how happy they make you and that you love them, and they'll keep getting bigger and brighter, okay?
Okay,
Ah-Yuan promises, and takes the deal-making hand that Wei-Ying holds out for a serious shake. Then he turns to his father and puts his hands on his hips.
Please, I would like to speak to Dr. Flowers privately.
His father looks amused.
Is it a secret?
He asks, raising his eyebrows. Ayuan takes a moment to consider this question, then decides.
No, but I still don't want to say it where you can hear. You'll tell Uncle Nie. You always tell Uncle Nie.
Weiying quite heroically in his own personal opinion, does not laugh. He does say quietly,
Roast him, you honor.
Mr. Ayuan laughs, apparently undefended that he's been designated a secret teller, and ruffles Ayuan's hair.
All right, I'll just be over by the,
He looks around and then decides. Chrysanthemums.
A bold choice and a good one,
Weiying assures him, and then turns back to Ayuan, who has put his hands behind his back and is standing very straight, like Lan Chan does sometimes when Weiying has flustered him.
So what's up?
Ayuan takes a deep breath and says,
Dr. Flowers, do you have a boyfriend?
Weiying will admit that this takes him by surprise. He says. He is fervently grateful that Jiang Cheng isn't here to say,
Yes, too.
No.
This seems to please Ayuan, whose hands come up to pat Weiying's knees in excitement.
My Baba doesn't have a boyfriend either, but Bobo does, and he likes having one. He says it's really good to have a boyfriend that you like.
I'm really happy for your Bobo,
Weiying says, floundering. He's not entirely sure what is being asked of him here.
He's right?
Ayuan nods.
So I thought you don't have a boyfriend and Baba doesn't have a boyfriend, but you already like each other because you're Dr. Flowers. Baba thinks you're so great. The plants get bigger and bigger, and Baba says that's because we have a good plant doctor.
Weiying glances over at where Ayuan's dad is studying the chrysanthemums with great seriousness. He's very handsome, Weiying supposes. He looks actually a little like Lan Chan in profile. He's not as handsome as Lan Chan, because nobody in the entire world is as handsome as Lan Chan, but... But Lan Chan has a partner, Weiying is pretty sure. He's made all kinds of comments, and Lan Chan hasn't ever corrected him. Weiying's crush on Lan Chan is fruitless and probably maladaptive. And of course he can't... It's not like he's ever going to really ask out Hong Guan Jun, who is just text on a screen. Text who has a mysterious tree.
Hmm, says Weiying. Have you asked your Baba if he wants to go on a date with me?
Ayuan leans in close and stage whispers.
No, because I don't want to get his hopes up,
he confides. Kidnapping is back on the table, Weiying thinks. He's got to do it. He and Ayuan will live a very fun life as bandits on the run. He hides his smile behind his hand. He can't sit around and pine after Lan Chan forever. Jiang Cheng is right.
Tell you what, Weiying promises. If your Baba says he wants to go on a date with me, I'll go. But you have to ask him first, okay? And then report back.
Ayuan flings himself into Weiying's arms.
Okay,
he shouts.
Okay, okay.
Okay,
Weiying laughs and stands, bringing Ayuan with him as his dad, drawn by the noise, returns. He's smiling fondly at them both.
Weiying could. What harm would it do? Mr. Ayuan is kind. He's handsome. His son is the best baby in the world. Weiying could fall in love for less.
Secret time over?
Mr. Ayuan asks, holding out his arms. Weiying passes Ayuan to him, and he transfers easily.
Shall we walk home now?
Ayuan agrees with a frantic nod and a big grin.
Yes, 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 he cries. Home, we'll go now. I have to get ready.
Mr. Ayuan gives Weiying a questioning glance, but Weiying just shakes his head with a laugh. Either the next time they see each other, it'll be for a date, or, more likely, they won't ever see each other again when Mr. Ayuan decides not to go back to the florist his son tried to set him up with. But maybe Ayuan will come back sometimes. Maybe his uncle can bring him. As the pair moves toward the door, Ayuan turns in his dad's arms and waves goodbye at Weiying, smile bright. Weiying toys with the leftover Ha flakes in his pocket and raises a hand to wave back. Yiling Laozu, 1:37 a.m.
Any news on your mystery tree?
Hong Guan Jun, 5:14 a.m. My son has grown attached to it.
Yiling Laozu, 4:37 a.m.
Attached in like a literal sense, or...
Hongguanjun, 6:22 p.m.
Attached in the sense that I am trying to find the line between encouraging my son's imagination and enabling what might be maladaptive daydreaming, and I suspect that my line is going on a date with a tree.
Yingling Laozi, 3:10 a.m.
Is the tree hot?
Hongguanjun, 5 a.m. The tree has a medical doctorate.
Lanchan's son wants him to go on a date with their plum tree. This is not mentioned in any of Lanchan's parenting books. Wei Ying had been lured to the bench outside his store so that Lanchan can feed him Yang Rao Chuan, because he let it slip that he hadn't eaten breakfast on Lanchan's weekly visit. Lanchan technically has a bag of white rabbit candy in his pocket, but he's saving it for dessert. Real food first. That's the rule with children and Wei Ying's. Wei Ying is currently laughing with the kind of abandon that Lanchan has never managed to let himself feel. Lovely in the same way that the garden on Lanchan's roof is. A profusion of joy, a gorgeous tangle. A strand of hair has come loose from his bun, and Lanchan is using every ounce of his considerable self-control not to tuck it behind his ear. Lanchan has imagined doing this many times since the first time, when Wei Ying smiled at him, hair over one eye, and managed to give Lanchan a pet and a plant and a present all in one. The thing is, Wei Ying is a sales associate in Wei Wuxian's flower shop. Lanchan doesn't know how they're related. Wei Ying never mentions him. Lanchan thinks that he and Wei Ying are friends, friendly, that Wei Ying likes him, but Lanchan is a customer. It would not be polite to ask him out in his place of business. And if he said no, it would mean the end of whatever this is. Lanchan would not be able to bring his dying plants back. He would not be able to bring snacks to make sure that this man is fed. He should not be doing it now, but as long as it is like this, he can justify it. He can pretend it is not an insult to Wei Ying's partner, who he lives and works with, Jiang Cheng. Wei Ying is always complaining that Jiang Cheng has bad taste in music and insists on singing in the shower. He hasn't been able to bring himself to ask, because Lanchan is a horny and pathetic swamp monster who will never act on his feelings because he would rather protect the fantasy of stopping Wei Ying's laughter with his mouth.
No, it's cute, it's cute,
Wei Ying is saying now, looking at him with such naked fondness that Lanchan feels his ears heating up.
Wei Ying, Lanchan scolds. Swallow first.
Wei Ying swallows and then immediately shoves more food in his mouth. He really doesn't eat enough. Without thinking, Lanchan gives in to the urge to wipe sauce off the corner of his mouth, brushing against the edge of his lips. Wei Ying darts his tongue out at the same time and then nips at the pad of Lanchan's thumb. Their eyes meet and they both go very still, Lanchan's thumb caught between Wei Ying's teeth.
Oh, Lanchan says, voice detached, like he has discovered a mildly interesting piece of trivia by accident.
Wei Ying makes a sound around his thumb. His jaw drops open, letting the thumb fall out, and then he startles away, scooting back on the bench.
Ah, ha, ha, he laughs, voice weak. Sorry, Lanchan, when we were kids, Jiang Cheng always...
Don't worry.
Lanchan interrupts, voice brisk, because he cannot bear to hear about the ways that Jiang Cheng has touched Wei Ying. The interruption is enough to make Wei Ying's mouth click shut. Lanchan knows his ears are red, but there's nothing he can do. He's broken a boundary. He's treated Wei Ying like he would treat someone he had any right at all to touch.
I shouldn't have touched you.
Wei Ying goes a little still and then hikes his mouth into an uncomfortable smile.
It's fine,
he reassures Lanchan with the same smile he gives to street vendors and other customers. And when he says, "Hello, you've reached the flower trio, what's your emergency?" into the phone behind the counter. He's never smiled at Lanchan like that. Lanchan hates it. Wei Ying swallows what is left of the Yang Ru Chuan and then wipes his hands on his jeans.
Ah, look at the time, he says weakly. I've got to be getting back.
Lanchan nods. Very well, he says, and he knows he sounds stiff,
but he can't seem to massage the ease back into his voice. He shoves his hands into his pockets.
Thank you for healing Laozi.
Wei Ying's head jerks up.
Who?
he asks, dropping a skewer. Lan Chan furrows his brow, bending down to pick up the litter. He collects the other skewers from the napkin on the bench beside Wei Ying as well. He will dispose of them. There is a trash can a few blocks away.
Lao Tzu, he repeats, nodding at the charita between them.
Wei Ying had run his fingers along the edges of the blooms, and they'd livened beneath his touch.
That is its name.
Ayuan had named the others Bun Bun and Dao Zhang and Scoopy, but Lan Chan had purchased Lao Tzu after his friend on the forum had said, offhand, that he liked them.
Do all the plants have names?
Wei Ying asks, voice gone reedy. Lan Chan senses he has done something wrong, but has no idea what. Lan Chan is sure he has mentioned this before. It is not a secret.
Of course, he says. This is Lao Tzu. The cast iron plant is Dao Zhang. The succulent is Bun Bun. And the jade plant is Scooby.
Scooby, Wei Ying repeats, faint.
We have a cat, Lan Chan explains. He often tries to nibble.
Wei Ying takes one step back, then two. He says, Lan Chan, you're... and then cuts off, swallowing thickly. Things seem to have spiraled into territory that Lan Chan cannot map or even perceive. He does not know why the names of his plants are so appalling. But Wei Ying is staring at him with wide, unreadable eyes, still walking backwards, toward his shop, away.
Wei Ying, he calls, despite himself. Are you all right?
The phone is ringing. I have to go. Thank you for lunch. See you next week.
Wei Ying says, words bleeding together, and then gives a half-hearted wave before turning and fleeing back into his shop.
Lan Chan looks down at Lao Tzu, who is blooming happily in the sunshine, and who gives him no explanation.
What Wei Ying does is a very small beanie. He uses the vines on the side of the building, which oblige him happily. They wrap around his wrists and do most of the heavy lifting, pulling him up to the roof. All the lights in the building are out. It's 4:30 a.m., but Wei Ying hadn't been able to sleep. Lao Tzu, Dao Zhang, Bun Bun, and Scoopy.
For my son, Lan Chan had said.
They're dying, Ayuan had said. We have a big tree, Ayuan had said.
Some have bloomed which I did not plant, said Hong Guanjun.
The vines lift him over the roof ledge, and Wei Ying finds himself looking at four absolutely unhinged gardens, guarded by the shade of a plum tree in full blossom.
I have to sit down,
Wei Ying announces, and then does it, hard enough probably to bruise. The plants all tilt for him, reaching out, affectionate. We're here, they say. We grew for you. We have taken care of the ones you love. Many things slot into place at once. The man Wei Ying had met was not Baba, but Bobo, because Lan Chan is Ayuan's father, and Ayuan is Hong Guanjun's son. The garden, their garden, is Wei Ying's garden. Their garden, alive on Wei Ying's most deeply rooted magic, sensing his presence on Lan Chan, recognizing Wei Ying's longing for a family and his draw to Ayuan, and blooming unrestrained to please them, to please him. The plum tree, with its darkened fruit and its blossoms, Wei Ying's mother's favorite. Mei Hua bloom vibrantly in a world where everything else is dead or hiding. They are flowers of hope and perseverance, and a reminder that life is transitory. He closes his eyes and breathes deeply through his nose. We found him again, the vines say, smug. Vines are the smuggest of plants, so Wei Ying should have expected this. Wei Ying looks up. Found who?
Our friend, say the vines. They sound puzzled.
Doesn't Wei Ying know? Isn't that why Wei Ying came back all those months ago and asked for the gardens to bloom again, to be good and hardy and strong? Wasn't he trying to give back the care that their friend had given him all those years ago?
Literally, what are you talking about?
Says Wei Ying out loud, and with a put-upon rustle, the vines nudge his hands into the soil of the nearest garden plot. Wei Ying curls his fingers into it and feels his mind tumble forward, down into the roots, down into the dirt that remembers and cultivates that memory into blossoms, past the renovations, past the years of disrepair, past the last of the old tenants moving out to...
Told you so,
say the vines. 20 years ago. A small boy, blue pajamas. They have bunnies on them. Face somber. He is holding out his hands to the garden because he does not have anywhere else to go. He is worried, the garden can tell. He is worried for the boy he does not know is named Wei Ying, who has not come out of his apartment. No one else has noticed, but Lan Chan noticed. Lan Chan is too small to be listened to. The garden knows that the earth witches that live there have died, that their power has been sunk too early into the child that was theirs and the garden's. The garden grew him. The garden knows that someone will come, because magic concentrated in that quantity always draws attention. But no one has arrived yet. It is shielding the child for now until the magic settles. But this little blue boy worries. He draws grids in the dirt and says, "I would like food, please, for my friend." And the garden gives it, pushing a potato up through the dirt. "We would not let harm come to him," it thinks at him. "He is one of ours." But it likes the blue boy for caring, for trying. He takes it and bows in thanks to the sunflowers before toddling back down the steps. The garden listens. In the apartment below, a few moments later, the potato rolls in through a cat flap toward the garden's child. The boy looks at it for a long moment, then crawls forward and picks it up. "Thanks," he mutters. "Mmm," the small blue boy agrees. "I'll come back." Present day.
Wei Ying.
He stands at attention so fast that his vision swims and he stumbles back towards the edge of the roof. Lan Chan's hand shoots out and catches him by the wrist, tugging him to safety. He pulls too hard. Wei Ying collides with his chest, curling his hands instinctively into the shirt he's wearing. He leans back, reorienting. He says.
"Hi."
Lan Chan is blinking at him, bewildered. He is wearing blue pajamas. They have bunny succulents on them. He is still holding Wei Ying's wrist, fingers a gentle cuff.
"What are you doing here?"
Lan Chan asks, with remarkable aplomb, for a man who has just found his florist communing with the garden on his roof.
"How did you know where I live?"
Wei Ying clears his throat and opens his mouth, but nothing comes out. "You were my first friend," he wants to say, but isn't sure how. "I always looked forward to your forum messages, maybe, but that would take too much time to explain. I made your garden grow is true, but difficult to contextualize." "I'm Dr. Flowers," he finally blurts, which solves none of his problems and only serves to make Lan Chan's brow furrow even deeper. "It's not the tree, it's me."
Lan Chan gives a long, slow blink and then says, "What?"
"Ayuan came in," Wei Ying says, "and he's doing this all wrong. It's not in the right order, but... and he said that the plants were dying, and he brought me here, and I used to live here when I was really young, before... well, anyway, I guess I got a little carried away. I'm sorry about the plots and the tree. You definitely... they're going to make you cut that down for sure. You'll have to replant it somewhere, or don't. It's okay. You don't have to keep it, but I... God, this isn't making any sense. I know. I'm sorry. I only just realized. You have to believe me, Lan Chan. I only just realized. I didn't know."
"I believe you," Lan Chan says.
Wei Ying opens his mouth to argue his defense and then realizes he doesn't have to and snaps his mouth shut again. He squints.
"What do you believe?"
he asks.
Lan Chan shrugs.
"You," he says.
"Beyond that is unclear."
Wei Ying pulls his hands away and scrubs at his face. Lan Chan just saying, really just standing there, saying, finding Wei Ying on his roof and still saying... "Fuck," he mutters. "Okay, fuck." He swallows. Lan Chan, in his bunny succulent pajamas, waits. "I'm an earth witch," Wei Ying tells him. Lan Chan's mouth flickers.
"Yes," he agrees. "That is quite obvious."
"Well, I thought I should say it outright,"
Wei Ying says slowly, carefully, watching Lan Chan's expression in case it suddenly goes sour. "Because you didn't realize it for a long time, even though my profile on the forums said Earth Bitch in all capitals." There's a long, slow beat, and then Lan Chan's eyes widen. Just a fraction, but enough.
Yiling Laozu, he says. You?
Wei Ying nods. And, I'm also... You probably don't remember, but... When I was in college, I used a different name. Sui Bian. I should have told you, but it was so... Everything back then was so crazy, and you weren't online for so long, and when you were, it was for plant questions, but really cute plant questions that I always looked forward to, and I didn't know how to say it, and then it was too late, and then it's now.
Sui Bian,
Lan Chan echoes.
You, I thought you died.
Oof, well, that's bad. That was not a possibility Wei Ying had considered, although in hindsight, what did he expect Hong Guanjun to think?
He had not expected Hong Guanjun to think of him, is the answer. He had expected his disappearance to matter not at all.
I didn't, Wei Ying says, somewhat superfluously. I'm sorry, I didn't think you'd... It was kind of a weird time. I honestly didn't think you'd care.
Lan Chan blinks. You were my best friend, he says, and his voice is so plaintive and bewildered that Wei Ying almost has to sit down. How could I not care?
Wei Ying's heart wants to fall out of his chest. Oh, he mumbles, voice small. I didn't know.
Somehow, out of all the things, this is the worst thing. Lan Chan takes a step closer, eyes pinned to his face. Is that all?
He asks. Wei Ying blows out a long breath. No, it gets, like, a lot worse, he admits. It's important to me that you know that I really didn't give myself this name, Lan Chan, but I'm Dr. Flowers. Ayuan came in a few months ago. He was really upset, and he said his garden was dying. I remember that you were on a business trip because it had been...
He musters up his courage.
Because I missed you on Tuesday.
Lan Chan stares at him.
And then, Wei Ying goes on, swallowing... I got here, and I went overboard. I can admit that I went overboard, but it was just the gardens were dying, and I... Ugh, it sounds so crazy, but I used to live here when I was little, and it made me so sad to see it, and I just... Sometimes I sort of lose myself a little. More plant than person. They're rude on the forums, but they're not always precisely wrong.
Yiling Laozu is Sui Bian, Lan Chan murmurs. Is you, Wei Wuxian?
He nods, miserable.
You are Sui Bian, and Sui Bian is Yiling Laozu, and Yiling Laozu recommended a flower shop owned by Wei Wuxian, where I purchased the seeds for our rooftop garden and met his sales associate, Wei Ying.
Wei Ying chokes. Sales associate? He repeats. You didn't know that I was me?
You said you were Wei Ying, said Lan Chan, a little helpless. I thought, family of some kind. You said you just worked there.
I said if you loved what you do, then you'd never work a day in your life, Wei Ying corrects, voice squeaking a little. I thought I was kidding. I thought you knew. I just said to call me Wei Ying so you wouldn't be afraid.
Afraid? Echoes Lan Chan. Wei Ying hears the skepticism. Of you.
Because of what people say, Wei Ying clarifies. You know, all the stuff about how I'm, like, a plant freak.
Slowly, very slowly, like Lan Chan is afraid that Wei Ying will dissolve beneath his palms, Lan Chan's hands come up to cup the underside of Wei Ying's face. His thumb strokes up behind Wei Ying's ear, wonderingly. Ayuan named the plum tree Dr. Flowers, he explains, voice soft. Wei Ying feels a tear spill out of his eye as he laughs.
The tree has a medical doctorate. He remembers. Lan Chan, I don't want to disappoint you, but I'm not an MD.
You said you lived here when you were young. The boy in the top part floor apartment.
Wei Ying nods. The boy with the potatoes, he replies tearily, putting a hand against Lan Chan's chest. You pushed them through the cat flap.
He leans his face, heavy into Lan Chan's hands. They've met so many times, he thinks, in so many ways. Weaving in and out of one another's lives like a long, stubborn root. Yiling Laozu, Lan Chan murmurs. Sui Bian.
Wei Ying replies,
Hongguanjun.
Wei Wuxian, says Lan Chan, and his mouth flickers into what could almost be a smile.
Wei Ying gives in, sinks his weight onto Lan Chan. He presses a kiss to the pad of Lan Chan's thumb, healing a phantom bite.
Lan Wangji,
he answers.
Dr. Flowers, says Lan Chan.
Mr. Ayuan,
says Wei Ying.
Wei Ying,
says Lan Chan. And Wei Ying says,
Lan Chan, Lan Chan, Lan Chan.
And then they are both laughing. Lan Chan leaning in to capture Wei Ying's mouth. Wei Ying wraps his arms around Lan Chan's middle, pulls him close. Above them, the plum tree shakes down a joyful shower of Meihua petals, their soft, distinct fragrance blackening the roof like a welcoming embrace. When Lan Chan finally pulls back, the sun has started to rise. His eyes are warm and soft and golden, and Wei Ying has loved him in so many ways, as so many different people. The smile on his face is bright enough to put the sun to shame.
What?
Wei Ying asks, feeling himself blush. Lan Chan reaches out to tuck a loose strand of hair behind Wei Ying's ear and shakes his head.
Wei Ying, he says, I am so, so happy to finally meet you.
Eight months later. The bell over the front door gives a little chime as Lan Chan finishes hanging it. In the back room, Jin Ling starts to cry and is quickly hushed by acknowledged baby magician Jiang Cheng as Yan Li, heavily pregnant and crouched by the orchids, slowly pushes herself up from her knees. Jin Zixuan is meant to arrive any minute, along with Xichen, an uncle, and the Wens, and Nie Mingjue with his little brother, to celebrate the grand opening of the new location, conveniently located at number 521. From atop the counter, clinging to Wei Ying's shoulder, Ayuan gives a cheer.
New bell, he cries. Baba, it's pretty.
He's not supposed to sit on the countertops, but Wei Ying always lets him, because Wei Ying has absolutely no head for discipline.
Lan Chan doesn't mind. Let Ayuan be spoiled. Let them all be spoiled, he thinks.
Wei Ying is looking at him with a blossoming smile, his eyes two crescents of affection. The way Lan Chan feels about him is a vibrant tangle in his chest, a garden run rampant on a sunlit roof. He has been so many people in Lan Chan's life, called by many names, but in all his forms he has always been the same. Lan Chan's favorite, his very favorite thing.
Happy bell,
Ayuan decides, clapping his hands.
Happy Baba Flowers?
Happy, Wei Ying says and bops their son's nose with the sunflower in his hand.
Happy Ayuan?
Ayuan giggles.
Happy,
he confirms. They turn to look at Lan Chan as he steps down off the ladder and sets it against the wall. He walks to them, helping Yan Li to a seat so that Jiang Cheng can bring her Jin Ling. He presses a kiss to Wei Ying's mouth and then one to the top of Ayuan's head.
Happy, Lan Chan says,
and the truth of it blooms like a garden in his chest. The end.